We're on Ayin Chet on the day. We got up to two dots, I believe, Boyer with Papa. Boyer with Papa. Ganva Kach'au Macha Mal. Now, we had before, finished yesterday, the question about a Mechira that is partial, that you leave something out of. Here, Rav Papa wants to know, suppose the Geneva, and we know that if you stole something that was missing a limb, then there's no question that the sale is a complete sale because you sold what it is that you stole. But suppose you stole something, cut off a limb, and then you went out and you sold it. So then you can't say that you sold what you stole, but on the other hand, you can't say that you left something out of what you sold because you didn't. So the question is, Ma, mi amin and mai de ganav alo zavim, shall we say that what was stolen was not sold? Vilma ma de zavim halo shi'er. Do we say, well, but what he sold was totally sold and he left nothing out? Take it. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa, furthermore says, ganav v'natan la'acher v'tavach, or ganav v'natan la'acher umacha, somebody who steals and gives it as a shlichut to someone else to be kaveh for him, or he steals it and gives it to someone else to sell for him, and we've already seen before, and we'll look, review it again, that yeshliach v'dvaravera when it comes to the issue of tzrichah mechira, and therefore he would be chayav here. Ganav v'higdish, if he went ahead and he was magdish it in such a way that it wasn't returning it to the bialim, which are a number of the cases that we had before, he gives it to Bet HaKabayit, or he brings it Shalom L'Shem Ba'alim, or the Ba'amun Ba'kulik, and so on. Ganav, he keeps, he goes ahead and he steals something, and then he sells it on credit, but he never gets any money. Or Ganav, he sells it as a bartering, but never gets any money in return. Or Ganav, v'natan v'matana, for that matter, he simply steals it and gives it as a gift. And there was no exchange of value in any form. Ganavu para chovo, or he uses it to pay back money that he already received, which he could have viewed as a payment in advance, so to speak, for what it is that he's giving now. Or ganavu para bekefo, or he used it to pay off his credit card. Or ganav v'shalach savlonut bebeit kamid, or he stole it and then he used it to send the gifts before his marriage. And the minyak there was that they would spend a year between the kiddushin and the nisuin with various levels of sablonut, which they would give as gifts. Now over here, it's the dot of a bit chamiv, because it was after already the wedding, then of course it would be his own. He's sending away. In a sense, he's sending gifts to himself. But over here, bebet chamiv, in all of these cases, mishalim, tashlumei, arbab, hamisha. What is the kiddush in all of these cases? Mashalim. Well, Ashbe'inan Reisha, the case of Ganav v'natan la'acher v'tavach, we need to know that yesh shliach v'dvar avira. There's afagav v'b'chol ha'torah kula ein shliach v'dvar avira. Normally I would have said if I give it to somebody else to be mashrish mi b'chet, I mean it's a transgression. He shouldn't have listened to me. Say yesh shliach v'dvar avira. But over here, afa yesh shliach v'dvar avira my taima, u'tavacho u'micharo. Just like by definition, a mechira requires the services of a purchaser, so too, the tzricha also mechayev if there were someone else to were involved. Vashmina Sefer, on the last piece, teaches us, Gona v'higdish, that mali makro lehediot, mali makro leshamayim, that there's no difference between selling or giving, which was the case we had in the middle, to a hedyot or to hegdish, even though we're used to thinking of hegdish as being different. That's where hegdish was the victim, not where hegdish was, so to speak, the purchaser, the recipient of the victim. How does that come out on the thing? Oh, you don't hear.
Here.
We're going to have to improve the technology, no question about it. Ganav reshut haba'alim v'tavach u'machar chutz mirshutam. And here we get into the question of the act of the kinyan of the ganavus. If somebody was donated something in the rishus of the owner, and then he takes it out of the rishus, and he was toveach u'mocher. So at the point that he took it out to be toveach u'mocher, he also completed the act of the ganeva. Or, for that matter, if he did the ganeva chutz mirshutam, which is much less of a problem, because then he can be kona without requiring hagba'ah, like this, if it's in the guy's rishus, then he would have to actually pick it up in order to take it into his own rishus while it's in somebody else's sada. Here he takes it out of a place that doesn't belong to that other person, and he's tavehu machar in this case by taking it back into their rishus, but at this point it's his, and he was already kona, it isn't being ma'azir. Does the whole thing. He picks it up and he checks it or sells it outside of the Rishus of the Baalim, and all such cases, because he completed a kinyan to remove it from the other person's Rishus before the Tzichu Mekhira. However, if he is Donev and Toveach and Mocher while it's still in the Rishus of the Baalim, so that he was never actually koneh, then he is potter. Hayam moshcho, the goat said. He's sitting there in the guy's Rishus, grabbed the animal, and he's pulling it out. And as he's pulling it out, that poor animal is overwhelmed with the tension, gets a heart attack, and drops dead. So it's made Rishus of Baalim, but it's still in the Rishus of the owner. He's potter. And it's only a grama. He'd be old, but if he lifted it up, or if his Mashiach had taken actually out of the Rishus of the owner, and then it would be made, and he would be chayah, if he already completed his act of Dineva. If he uses it and gives it to a kohen to pay for his Pidyon HaBen, or the Baal Chol, which someone that he owes money to, Mishomer Chinam, Mishoel, and Osei Sakar, or he gives it to someone else to be his. Now, we'll see, it's not clear. Were we talking about the ganav gave it to someone else, or the owner gave it to someone else? Let's not assume that the owner gave it to a shomer to watch it, and then a ganav came, v'haya moshcho, u'meit b'reshut ha'baalim, and then now the owner, the ganav comes along and takes it out of the reshut of the shomer chinam, or these other people, which is one way that we're going to try to fit the mission to the sea. Potur. He could be old, and if he lifts it up, if he had picked it up, as we saw in the previous case, where he took it out of the Rishus of the Baalim through Mashiach, and then it died, he would be chayav. Now, obviously, the first thing that rings in your mind when you hear this about the mashmaut is that the Shomer Chinam was being moshcho, and the question over here is, had it been nifnas into his Rishus Agave Shmirah? So indeed, this is what triggers the Gemara's question. Boya Mema. It wasn't asked on this Mishnah, but we bring it here because it appears immediately that our Mishnah has something to say about the subject. Tiknu Mishicha v'Shomerim Alo. We know that the din of Mashiach, which is a halacha min Rabbanan, actually when you write the money, is the way to be kona something in the Talmud. We made a takona that you need to actually take possession through Mashiach of these metaltalim, because otherwise we're afraid that if somebody gives you money, buys something, and at that point you feel your responsibility is complete, you don't have to take care of it. So we're afraid that you can always come back and tell the guy, well, Nisra Pufi Techabali, I'm very sorry, the fire last night, and it was all of your stuff that had burned down in the warehouse. Therefore, we say, until you take possession, it's not a kinyan yet, and the seller is going to be responsible. So the question is that true once we make such a takona? Did we make it across the board so that any type of transference, even if it's a transfer to a shomer that's supposed to be taking care of things for me, do we require the same type of kinyan of Mashiach or not? Omer Avyeh, Mar Tashma, says Rav Yemar, isn't that the Mishnah? Matno lebukorot v'no lebal chobo, or l'shomer chinam, or l'shoel, l'notri sachar v'l'socher, and then hayam oshko v'yotei umeit, v'shut ha'balim, pastor. Now, I mean, doesn't that mean that the shomer was now being moshko v'yotei? In other words, a thief had gone in, stolen it. Then he tells the guy, you know what, Joe, do me a favor, my animal, this really is animal, but my animal that this guy steals, go take it and keep it for me and be sure of it. I'll come pick it up later today. So the shomer now goes, in order to make the kinyan for himself, for the shmirah, that the shomer was being Moshe, not realizing that he was actually acting as a ganav at that moment. And now the ganav becomes chayiv because the shomer was being Moshe for him. Which proves, shmanina, tiknu mishikah v'shomerim. It must be that they made a takon of Mashiach, because otherwise the shomer das. What, yes?
I mean, what did he acquire the right to acquire the cow?
He didn't. It's
what I'm saying, the guy went to pick up the cow, how is it being transformed? Or what action did he do? That's the guy who pulled the cow. What about, you're saying that he's doing it as the agent for the other guy?
He turns out to be an agent. Unwitting agent.
But what action caused him to acquire that ability to transfer to him?
You don't need anything for that. To make somebody an agent without a key. There's no need to make a key to make an agent.
So then how is he then transferring that on?
Transferring what on?
Transferring the
Yeshua of the Gvar Avera.
Zero, no Kinyan involved whatsoever.
Like any Shukur. But if he, the Shomer, wasn't being thrown in for himself, then there was no act of Kinyan at all. So it's obvious that if the Shomer's going out to be Kona through Mashiach for the other guy, it's got to be because the Shomer was being Kona with Mashiach to be Mitzchayev and Ishmirah. Otherwise, there's no meaning to the Mashiach. It's just an act of Yalma. It has to be an act of Kinyan. In which case, says Rav Yemar to Amemar, it's clear from the Mishnah that there is a Takona of Mashiach for Shomer. Or Marley, can you misunderstand the entire Mishnah? Mishnah's not talking about that the Shomer was the one who was being Moshe. It's talking about that the Ganav was being Moshe from the Rishus of the Shomer, and the owner had given it to the Shomer. That's what it means. The way to understand the Mishnah is the owner gave over his animal to a Shomer, and now a Ganav came in the Rishus of the Shomer, and is being Moshe from the Rishus of the Shomer. What does that have to do with Kinyan of Shomer? So, I understand, and that's the same case as in the Risha. It says if a Ganav was taking it out of the guy's Rishus, so why care whose Rishus it was? Well, I mean, Tana Ganav Shiganav Yibet Abalim, but Tana Ganav Shiganav Yibet Shomer. I mean, that's not so terrible. The Mishnah wants to teach us two separate halachas, and that the Beit HaShomer is called the Gunav Yibet HaIch. Shomer now becomes the man. Amalei Rav Ashi. Oh, come off it. Look, it's Chaya. Don't give me this that it's talking about a Ganav. And the big Kiddush over here is that a Ganav, Mibet HaShomer, is considered to be Mibet HaShomer. What's the difference? Mali Ganav Sheganav Mibet HaShomer, Mali Ganav Sheganav Mibet HaShomer. What difference could it possibly make that somebody would require a Mishnah to tell me that a Shomer is considered to be just violent, and that if you steal it from the house of the Shomer, it's like stealing, well, that's obvious from a million places. I don't need a Mishnah to teach me that. The only possible meaning in the Mishnah is the way it was originally interpreted, that in fact it was the Shomer who was now acting on behalf of the Ganav, and therefore it proves indeed that Shmamina Tiknu Mashiach v'Shomerim Shmamina, exactly the way Rabbi Yemar wanted to play the Mishnah. That's the way it should be played. It's Manami, and indeed we learned that Rabbi Elazar said, "Kiderach shetiknu Mashiach v'Lekuchot, kach tiknu Mashiach v'Shomerim." That the din of Kinyan, once we made the halach of Kinyan to be Mashiach for a lakoach, for a purchaser, we made that to be the standard type of Kinyan, even though there's no question in the particular case of Nisibuchitech of Aliyah for the our Kinyan, the Takana. Nonetheless, there's one standard Takana of Kinyanim that we use for all types of Kinyanim, whether it's for a rental or whether it's for a purchase, and Mimela, the Mishnah, fits directly with the way Rav Yemar understood it, so says Rav Elazar. Kinyan Ami Ofin, indeed.
He doesn't have to take it out of the Rishut of the Mokher.
He does. That's called taking out of the Rishut of the Mokher.
Because if he needs to,
Yeah. Hagba'ah means that it's yours in your rishus, even though you're standing in someone else's rishus, as opposed to Mishikah. Mishikah doesn't help until you actually exit the store. Tanya Nami Hokin, indeed the Brisa supports this. It says the Feirush, Kiderech, Tiknu Mishikah B'Lekuchot, Kach Tiknu Mishikah B'Shomerim. וכשם שהקרקה נקנית בכסף ובשטר וחזקה, כך שכירות נקנית בכסף ובשטר וחזקה. Same way I could purchase land with these three standard land purchases, which is kesef, because over there obviously we never made a takana that required mishikha on land, it'd be rather difficult, and shtar and chazaka, so too can shechirut, and we'll see what this means in a moment, we'll see that this means the shechirut of karka. The shechirut of karka, renting the land, leasing the land, is exactly the same as purchasing the land, just as we said for metalfilin, that the kinyan of metalfilin is the same whether you're renting or whether you're purchasing. The Gemara wants to clarify, when you say shechirut, you say a rental of what? Shechirut demai, a rental, are you saying a rental even of metalfilin? Elay meshechirut de metalfilin. Well, what do you mean? You're renting metalfilin, you're going to write a star to rent metalfilin? Metalfilin b'nei shtarim, you know, you can't write starot on metalfilin, there's no such thing in. There's no such thing. You'd require Mashiach. Omrath Yisra, no, of course not. Shechirut de karka. All we're saying is that the same concept that we intuited essentially here in our mission has got to be talking about the Shomer. The Shomer makes a kinyan for himself on metalfilin, through Mashiach, or Agbo, whatever the case was. So too, a Shomer of karka, so somebody's being Shomer karka, will do exactly the same thing, utilizing the normal kinyan for karka. And it's not that there's anything magic about Mashiach. All we're saying is that kinyanim work for whatever purpose, whether it's for purchase, whether it's for hitchavut, whether it's for shiut, on the particular type of item. That's the same type of kinyan that item requires, no matter for what purpose. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Ra'uhu shehitmin b'choreshin, v'tavach umakar v'chalim tashkumei arba'a v'chamisha. Now we're interested in defining for a moment what we mean by ganav. This has been a little bit of a confusion because we had before, if you recall, what's the status of a highway robber? Did we say the fact that he requires the weapons and this makes him actually a ganav or is a highway robber man, at least the Mizuyan considered to be a gosman? This was a machlokus that we had earlier. What is an assumptive ganav? Kind of literally only somebody who goes into a person's house, and we learn that from Bamba Maskaras, but that's what the Torah considers to be a ganav. He has to be a sneaky thief. Or are there other ways in which we could assume that somebody is a ganav? So Rebbe Elazar says, and there's two ways of learning this. Rashi learns Ra'ushi Tmin B'choreshin means a man who was hiding himself among the trees before coming out to steal something. And the other way of learning it, which is the way the Rambam learns it, is that the man attempted to cover his actions by pretending to innocently be doing something else. So instead of taking the animal, picking the animal up, instead what he did was is he put bushes around it so that you would, or we'll see what it actually means, was that he prodded the animal to go behind some bushes. But right now we think that he covered it with bushes without moving the animal, which leads us to a problem. So the Rambam understands itmin is a transitive verb. Rashi understands itmin in a sentence mitamein, a reflexive verb. He hid himself. So according to Rashi, it's his behavior in terms of discovery of himself, and he's hoping he won't be seen. According to Rambam, it's the way in which he's covering himself, so that he won't be caught. Even if he's seen, he can always claim to be doing something innocent. So he then goes and he's toveach u'mocher, after hiding himself, jumping out for a moment, being toveach u'mocher, or hiding the animal, and now when nobody can see, toveach u'mocher, that's the ganav. And he's mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Now, first of all, our problem is, we've been discussing, that's why we brought up the context of this Mishnah, where was the kinyan of the ganav? Amar lo mashach. It sounds like you're talking about a case either where a guy jumps out from behind the trees and suddenly checks it and makes up, in which case there was never a ganav before the Tzrichu Mechira. Or, sounds like we're in the Rambam, that the guy never picked up the animal, he covered it, then when nobody would see, he would go ahead and do this. But in either case, however we learned, there was no act of Mashiach to complete the Geneva. Omer appears to know what it means is he shot in Mattel. Obviously, he was frightened. He didn't want people to see him picking it up, which would have been an open act of Geneva. So he prods it. And in prodding it, he is also doing an act of kinyan, because we already said before that Yikusha is exactly the same as Mishicha. So the effect of Gemara, by the way, the Yikusha, the Matel, works out a little bit better according to the Rambam's shot. Because obviously, I mean, the Gemara is not saying, oh, Mishicha, Hakinah, Mishicha, Mashach. I mean, that would be the normal way to answer. Well, it's talking about that he was Moshe. I mean, that obviously is not what the Gemara wants to say, because it's got to fit the case. The case as given is that the man is trying to cover himself, according to the Rambam. It's very hard to cover yourself when you pick up the darn thing in your arm, and people saying, what the heck are you doing? So everyone is saying, give it a prod on the side, and wasn't that noticeable that it was he who had caused it to saddle in over there between the trees? That works out very well. And according to the other chat also, because he is hiding himself, even with Rashi is learning, so he wants to do things that are as little noticeable as possible. So we want to say he can shove in my cow. Something more, but still, keeping the Ra'uhu Gazlanu. I mean, the guy is really not covering himself very well. He at one point or another, he's in contact with this animal. He has no idea who owns the animal. He's out there in the courtyard. There's people around. I mean, how does he know that the owner isn't looking at him? So he's not very frightened to be seen. He's not frightened to be seen. Doesn't that make him a Gazlan? No. Even to come, since he is, either according to Rashi, attempting to hide, or according to the Rambam, which is a somewhat more persuasive chat, since he is covering his acts, so because of that, he is a ganav. He doesn't want to come clean with what he's doing. So what would you guys call a gazlan? Call a gazlan ekidami. It's like Benayo Ben Yoyada, where it says, that he grabs the spear out of the hand of the very Mitri that was after him, and he takes it and stabs him with his own spear. Now that's what you call a straight out and out Gazela. We don't hide our mission. We should have said, excuse me, I'll take that spear. And that's it. Same thing that Richard II did. Hey, Queen, it's last night Shakespeare. He stole the servant's sword and stabbed the two servants with it when they came to when Exeter came to kill him. Rabbi Yochanan and Alma. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kigon Baale Shem. The way to learn it is from the Baale Shem. Remember, by Yashimulo Baale Shem. Marvim al Roshe Harim. By Yigzulut Koloshe Yavar Aleyem Badera. Now, this already is a little bit different. Because here it says that they waited and set up an ambush on the top of the mountain, and anybody that would pass by, they would take everything that he owns. And he calls it Gizela. So apparently Gizela would include Ma'arvim. Now, Rabbi Abu didn't like this shot from Baal Shem, and that's why he said his shot from Benayo Ben Yoyada, even though that appears later. So my time of Amr Mihai, since they obviously were hiding out, because it says Vayashimu Ma'arvim, so that's not called a Gazlan. Even though the Torah calls it Gizela, okay, that's, I understand in the sense of taking from it, but in the technical sense of being included in the din of Kefal and Dalad Zahay, that's not a good example of Geneva. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? They weren't hiding in order to avoid capture. They were hiding not to scare away the people that were coming. If anybody knew that there were highway robbers living over there, they would never walk through the area. They turn aside and then they never catch him. So as the spider does, the spider's not afraid of the prey. It doesn't want the prey to see it. So they were spiders. That's certainly called a gazela.
He doesn't want the man to see him.
No, he doesn't want the victim to see him, so that the victim could escape. He doesn't care if people know. So other come at Tamer, the reason that they were hiding, the Lonavzino in Shivaniasamihayo. They didn't want victims to spot them up there in advance and run away before they could be robbed. Shalut Amidavid Rabbi Yochanan Mitzaka. Explain to us why the Torah is machayev a ganav that seems to be, I mean, intuitively, people view a burglar as a less chomer crime than a robber. And with a guy in broad daylight is robbing people and so on, isn't it? I mean, that's mafia. We should go after them with the feds. And the ganav is just the local cops. So why are we being more mafia, the Torah is being more mafia on the ganav than on the Gaza? On my land? I'll tell you, there's a big difference. I mean, at least the Goslin treats God no differently than he treats people. But the Ganav, he treats God even worse than he treats God. People he's afraid of. They shouldn't see me. But Kavayoko, Asa'ain shall mata kilu enoro eh, the ozen shall mata kilu enasho mat, is of course a euphemism. He's making the eye below, meaning the eye above of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it's blind, and the ear below, as if it doesn't hear anything. Shenemar hoi amamikimi Hashem laskireitza vayabim hashak maasehem. That's the worst thing, is to think that you can hide out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to hide their ideas from him, hide their mindset from him, and act in the dark. Uksiv vayomru lo yir eryav lo yavin Elohim Yaakov. So this is something that the Navi and the Dovah HaMelech relate to also as being worse than the Chet itself. Omer Rabbi Meir, Mashlum Mashal Mishum Rabban Gamliel. They said a mashal about this idea. L'mah davar gomer, L'shnei b'nei adam shayu b'ir, V'yasu mishteh. Two people were in town and made a party in their homes. Now, Echad, Zimenez B'nei Agir, one of them invites everyone in town because, after all, he's a real socialite. Below Zimenez B'nei Amel, but he leaves out the royal family. Whereas Echad, the other guy, he's a stingy person. Below Zimenez B'nei Agir, below Zimenez B'nei Amel. He didn't like anybody, except in the family. I ask you, which one is the king going to be more upset about? It's the guy who invites everybody else because their approval he needs. The king's approval he doesn't need. So that's the same thing as our case. Look at how great is the power, the meaning of doing work. A shore in which the stealing also caused it to be diplomi melachto, where you now prevented it from doing its work. So the Torah was Machai of you to pay a knas of 5 times the value. Whereas a share, shalobit lami melachto, a share that's just sitting around getting fat, over there arba'ah, the Torah is Machai of you only 4 times. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I see another meaning to this. Borei kama gadol kabod habriot. Yeah, he likes this check better also. Take a look at how chashuv is kavod habriot. That a shor shall avdrag lav, the shor walked on its own, and in order for him to steal it. So over there, you pay chamisha, and that would have been the normative payment. But a share that the ganav had to take the share, pick it up, put it over his back in order to carry it. He was mabaz himself. The Pharaoh lets them off one, even though it was in the context of Geneva, and he only pays arba. Ein megadlin beima daka be'eretz Yisrael, aval megadlin b'Suria u'b'midbarot shel eretz Yisrael. Now here we have an expansion of the halachas of beima daka, something that is unique, the difference is very interesting. It only relates to us because of the difference between shor and seh, and that of course is what we've just been talking about. So one of the other differences between shor and seh is that in order to make certain that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is enhanced, we don't allow growing the type of animals that end up causing damage to other people's fields and gardens. So we don't want you to have small animal farms in Eretz Yisrael. Aval, Megadlin B'Suria, areas in which Dovin HaMelech conquered on his own and don't really have to do Sarah because of Kibush Yachid. And for that matter, in areas of Eretz Yisrael which are wilderness and unsettled, and therefore you're not going to be damaging Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, then it's okay. Ein Megadlin Tarnagolin de Yerushalayim Mitnei HaKadashim. You cannot have chickens walking around in Yerushalayim. This doesn't include a chicken that you're going to keep in your own house, obviously, in a coop. But the chickens that were left, as people are wont to do, let chickens walk around outside and inspect them as needed. It's a good way to keep them fresh. So that you cannot do, because they go pecking around all over the place and they easily pick up a sheret from a garbage pail somewhere or something that they saw and wanted to pick up. And then they'll come around in the house and there'll be matami boser kachim. In Yerushalayim, there's boser kachim all over the place because even non-Kohanim eat boser kachim in Yerushalayim. Whereas Kohanim, who always have truma, they can't have tarnagolin anywhere. In anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. With mei ha-taharot, that's the truma that they're eating. Ein megadlin chazirin b'chol makom, and we'll see why, that it's prohibited to grow pigs anywhere. Lo yigadel adam et hakelev, ela im ken haya kashur b'shal shelet. It's also prohibited to raise a dog unless it is tied up, because we're afraid of causing a woman to be mopulated from the fear of it, as we'll see. Ein porsim nisholim leyonim, we don't put out traps to catch Yonim, because there are people that have their own private golf cups in their house, and then if we're going to trap them, it's likely that we're trapping somebody's Yona. Ela in Kena Yarachok na Yishuv Shloshim Rish, unless it was 30 Rish outside of town, which is about 4 kilometers. Chesigamura, Tana Rabbanim Megadlin Beimadaka Beret Yisrael, Aval Megadlin Bechurshin Beret Yisrael. You can raise such animals in areas that are wooded and not fields. And the truth is, b'shuria it's afilu b'yishuv. And obviously, b'chutzlar it's we have no akhod at all on yishuv. So this is not a takana because of Geneva and Gezela. This is a takana because of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So in Yidak, ein megad mebeim adak of Eretz Yisrael, avom megadlin b'nidbar shev Yehuda, u b'nidbar shev Tzfar Akko, Now I know you're wondering, because Behema Gasa also can cause damage, why didn't we prohibit that? We don't create zeros that people are not going to be able to stand by. I mean, Behema Daka, the purpose of Behema Daka is for food. And for food, you can always import them as needed. If you can have them shipped when you need food, and we'll see later on you're allowed to keep it. The butcher is allowed to keep it for 30 days anyway, before such time that he actually checks it. So that's fine. But when it comes, I mean, what a behema gasha, I mean, somebody needs an animal on a particular day to do farisha, and he's working in his field. What, he's going to import an animal to work for a day? That's, I mean, there's no way to do that. So behema gasha, you shall have behema kutzvah in that fashion. He can import a large number of animals either before Yom Tov, when he knows he's going to have a lot of people to feed, or before a chasna that he's planning, so then he's allowed to have these animals and keep them in his rishus and feed them and so on and so forth, and to just make sure that they don't go walking around. But this is only on condition of Ashlo Yeshayat Akronash Roshim Yom. If this doesn't mean you have 30 days from your last import license, that's not the point. In other words, yeah, we know the way you choose things. You figure if you get an import license for 30 days before the Chasna, so okay, some of them you'll import the day before the Chasna. You'll check the ones that you had 30 days before the Chasna, but then you'll keep your import license for 30 days afterwards. No. The Sark Daitach Amina. The inopically regal, whom if it's after the Yontif already, or after the Chasana, whom if he's out now at Hasid, from the time that you imported them until now, Akatilo Molula Tachin Yomen, you might have said, well, it's not 30 days. No. There's no problem. Name it Lassa Mishashari Lelashunye. You might think, therefore, they didn't keep it for 30 days. Even inopically regal. What we're saying is, once the event is over that you got the license for, you can't keep it around any longer. The same thing is true about a tabak. A butcher who sells a mass to the tzibur, he's allowed to be lofeach v'shochet, lofeach v'shoheh. He can buy for immediate shita, or he can buy for a period until the next time that he's got a fair coming up or a shuk coming up, and he builds bad, he could be shown, hey, Bavachelo Yesheha Agunashaban, Shoshim Yomet. Well, as long as he doesn't leave the last one of them until 30 days, because same idea, because he'll keep the earlier one, check it for the fair, and then he'll have other ones not for the fair. No. By the time the event comes about that he has purchased them for, that's the time that he's got to have them all sold. If it's that kind of butcher, enough, you know, I mean, you're just talking about that you needed to import a large number because you had a special sale coming up.